product, we tend to somewhat ignore it. I remember when I was quite young, watching a public service film as to why we should have salt and how we should use it. Mm-hmm. And when I was at home, my mother used to always put a pinch of salt in her cooking. Mm. This is actually some Walden sea salt. And and I was asked one evening if I could cook some macaroni cheese. My mother was going out. And I actually put a bit too much salt in the macaroni. And no matter what I did, I just couldn't get rid of the salt. No. And my father and brothers ate this macaroni with still faces. Because at least I'd done it for them. But I don't know how old this salt is. It's back of my cupboard. It hasn't got a sell-by date on or best before date on the box. But I tasted it, and it is very salty. But in ancient times, salt was used for a variety of ways. Sometimes Roman soldiers were even paid in salt. Mm. So that's why we have the expression, a person not being worth his salt.
Salary.
It was indeed. Mm. Sure, Michael. It's occasionally used, it's used as a preservative, a fire catalyst, a fertilizer, a seasoning agent, and also to improve the taste of bland food. Now, as we've heard, Jesus tells us we are the salt of the earth. And I rather like the way the Message Bible puts it. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the flavors of this earth. But I have to admit that I'd largely forgotten the second part of the verse. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You have lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. In the NIV, which we had read, it said, thrown out and trampled by men. And in Luke's gospel, it's written as not fit for the manure heap. So, strong words. We really do have to be salty. This passage, I think it's important to note, was actually part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has just delivered the Beatitudes. And two or three weeks ago at Caffey Church, Ian looked at the fresh explanation given by John Pritchard, which I really quite liked. It's all about letting go of our need to be somebody, of our pain, of our need to be right, of our concern for ourselves, the need for revenge, the need to win, and a safety-first approach. Now, I re-listened to that on the church website on Wednesday evening. And on Thursday, something really got under my skin to do with work. And I mean really got under my skin. It was somebody from an outside company that actually threw aspersions about my judgment, but he actually was incorrect. And what he was saying was also professionally not professional. And those words about letting go have been quite a challenge, but quite beneficial, because I was thinking, you know what I mean? But unfortunately, the Beatitudes is beatitude. You know, unfortunately, it's only when we are perhaps up against it, you know, something is, when life is tough, perhaps when we're unfairly criticized, but still can show the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, that reflect Jesus, that we're actually noticed. You know, it's that distinctiveness that we need. And this being distinctive doesn't happen naturally. It's not our natural self. And you may remember a couple of weeks ago, Helen gave an excellent talk about taking God seriously. And the passage was based on the question that Jesus was asked about what was the most important commandment. And if you remember, Jesus replied, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself." You may recall Helen testified how she found that by feeding her mind on God more extensively, by endeavoring to follow the principles of practicing the presence of God, as set out by our brother Lawrence, that it brought her subtle changes of more joy, peace, increased wisdom over decisions on what to say and do. But if she slipped out of the focus, Helen humbly admitted to, at different times, feeling a variety of things, including burnt out, unappreciated, liable to criticising others, keeping a record of wrongs, and being easily upset. Now, I'm aware that at times my busyness, just trying to do too many things, can have a tendency to crowd God out. And I suspect that is sometimes where I can be a bit judgmental and not seeing people as God sees them, perhaps saying or writing things that don't really help. I'm sorry, but I'm still very much work in progress and probably always will be. But my main point, first point here really is that our ongoing relationship with God needs to be right. Derek Prince, in a book I recently read, said a good checking mechanism is how good is our relationship with our spouses, family, colleagues, and church family. And he wrote, "Our relationship needs to be right with man and God. Unless it is right with man, it would not be right with God." Now, there was a young salesman who was very disappointed that he failed to make a big sale. And he went and saw his boss, and he said, "Oh," he said, but his manager said, he said to his manager, "You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." And the manager wisely said, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink, but to make him thirsty." Now, we simply have to give people a taste of Jesus so they want more. The business is then between them and the Holy Spirit. It's not our responsibility. We just have to reflect and show Jesus. Derek Prince, in his book Living as Salt and Light, wrote, "We have the responsibility to change the world by prayer, inviting the heavenly spirits to overcome the dark forces." Now, Jesus has won the ultimate victories by his death on the cross. But as we've seen this weekend, in events in Paris, there are battles on the way. But we are called to keep praying. And our prayers, especially if led by the Holy Spirit, make a difference. And we are called to pray for injustices, for wise government, for our local communities, and wherever change is required to meet God's standards. Another thing we should not forget is the testimony of what God has done on our own lives should not be ignored. We're really called to share that, what God has done for us. You know, if you're talking to your family and friends, just saying what God has done makes a difference. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said he was the light of the world. But here, Jesus tells his disciples and followers that we are the light of the world and our light is not hidden. Derek Prince wrote, "The moment you profess to be a Christian, publicly eyes will be on you at all times, whether at school or at work." That's very true. Those eyes will be looking to see if our faith is genuine in all of our life, not just part of it, and whether God's love can be seen. In verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." If you look at our second reading from James, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." Recently, our home group has been watching some talks by Simon Ponsonby. In one of them, Simon remarked, "We need to be open to being drawn to what God is seeing and to respond accordingly." He gave the example of a small local church known by the community as doing good. He went to speak there, only to a congregation of about 30 people, but they were one of the biggest distributors of charitable food in the country because they were located next to a large Tesco depot. But they had to do it. They were there, but they had to do it. Rebecca Mandy Pippert, in a book, Out of the Salt Shaker of the World, looks at how effective evangelism works. And she says it's formed out of personal holiness and obedience to God. She wrote, "We must get to the place where we go beyond our comfort zone and act as children of a great God. The presence of God brings us his power and ability to use our limited resources in his limitless way. We need to really know God and how to be Christ-like in order to do his work." Also, she wrote, "We are dependent on the Holy Spirit to do God's work. We need to be fed by the word and let God bring the results. We do not simply give the gospel. We are the gospel. We are the gospel to our neighbours, to our village, to our community. And we're the God wherever we go and whoever we meet." Last couple of weeks, Eileen has testified about encounters and unexpected places. But she's just been there talking to that. And others have the same experience as well. You know, if we're salt and light, we'll meet the values which have been identified in the vision process. You know, a loving family, our lives showing authentic faith, serving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and seeing lives and communities transform the name of Jesus. A number of you have seen or heard or read bits by Jeff Lucas. You know, you've seen it, Spring Harvest, whatever. But he wrote recently, "My life was utterly transformed by the quiet, faithful witness of a school teacher. She performed no mighty miracles, no signs and wonders, but her life was a sign and wonder she served. She was kind, smiled under pressure, and consistently demonstrated care. Her life was salty." Now, I suspect that dear lady had no idea what influence she had on Jeff, or how Jeff would be used by God. We will probably never know the legacy we create and leave. It's probably just as well, to be honest with you. But I'd like to say, a message I've been getting for several months is that our lives have to be firmly founded on our relationship with God. You know, I'm a surveyor. I know that if your foundations are not right, everything else tends to fall apart when things go difficult or circumstances change. And if those foundations are right, it will determine who we are, how we live, and the impact of whatever we do. Now, the amount of that salt in the macaroni was quite a small percentage in the terms of the pot, but that impact could not be hidden. So I'm really asking you that you try and be salt, because you may only be one person in your street, but your salt will make a difference wherever you are. Amen.